Sweden, Turkey, Japan, Russia, North Korea.
From Pakistan?
Is there a free place in Pakistan? Or does the government prime minister you want to run and the military make life difficult for journalists?
From France?
Have you heard of Brazilian? Will this new podcasting platform take over the podcasting industry in Europe?
From Venezuela?
Life is hard in Caracas. Just how hard is it to be a journalist under the government of President Nicolas Maduro?
From Turkey?
Can President Recep Tayyip Erdogan control the Turkish media?
From Japan?
Can Chinese tech giant Huawei convince Japan that it's not a security threat?
From Russia?
Did Russian trolls target African Americans on social media during the 2016 elections?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live at State University of New York College in Old Westbury.
Let's begin with the news in Pakistan. Deshaun Amitada has been doing this. What is the current state of Pakistani journalism under the government of the former Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan? Pakistan is under a lot of stress. Pakistan may be on the brink of war with India over the disputed territory of Kashmir. The economy, terrorism, and the war in neighboring Afghanistan are also considering problems. The government has a lot of political problems. Imran Khan has been facing a lot of criticism for opposition parties. But has the Pakistani press been too critical? Prime Minister Khan seems to think so. Deshaun, give us an introduction to the state of media freedom in Pakistan. How is Pakistan's government control on the media affecting journalists' lives?
Thank you, Peter. As far as media freedom goes, Pakistan's media is not really Pakistan's media freedom is not really good. Many are not able to.
How is the government using social media to find Pakistan journalists?
So they're also trying to position the
Thanks again. Let's jump from South Asia over to Europe, where a report of Paul from Paul Corey goes on French media. Paul, you have discovered that podcasting is being French. Is podcasting so popular that it has become a competition for French radio and TV networks? Is the podcasting industry profitable yet? Radisson is a new player in this market. This startup is trying to take over the distribution of podcasts in France and all over Europe. Paul, give us an introduction to this French podcasting platform. Is this a brand new company? When was it created?
Yes, it is a brand new company. Mazaron was created last year as a startup, and according to Europe Startups, the company raised $4 million into technology to create the app.
What are the basics of the app?
The app was created by Matthew Gallet, former CEO of Radio France, and Arthur Pertikas. The app was launched in June and debuted in 50 countries. According to Variety, Mazaron has an international library, 280,000 audio series, and 13 million episodes. The app is available in 50 languages and will have 20 exclusive audio programs, with 7 being in-house productions. The standard app is free, but there is also a premium version of the app called Mazaron Plus, which will be available through a paid subscription emails for 99 euros per month or by purchasing content as pay-per-view.
Why is this app being called the Netflix of podcasts?
The app is being called the Netflix of podcasts because it has such a large, accessible library. Podcasts are filtered by categories such as entertainment, arts, sports, politics, and comedy. The app also features an enhanced experience similar to Netflix. Personalized recommendations and curations are generated through albums.
What was the creator's motivation for creating this app?
In an interview with French digital newspaper Entre Prendre, Gallet said, "The ambition of Matchalon is to reinvent the way we listen to audio programs. We wanted to create the app after witnessing big increases in podcast usage during his presidency at Radio France. From 2017 to 2018, there was a 25% increase in podcast users in France. Currently, there are 4 million people that listen to podcasts each week in France. According to Mediametri, radio in France has lost 800,000 listeners in the last year. With podcast usage on the rise, Gallet wants Matchalon to appeal to users of all ages. For global media news, I'm Paul Gray. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. Life in Venezuela is very difficult right now. Blackouts, shortages, political turmoil, and violence. It has become especially hard for journalists. Why?
Nicolas Maduro has been president of Venezuela since the death of Hugo Chavez in 2013. President Maduro's government was facing a devastating economic and political crisis. After the January 2019 presidential election, opposition leader of the National Assembly, Juan Guaido, claimed that Nicolas Maduro was an illegitimate president and that he, Juan Guaido, is in fact the president of Venezuela. The state-controlled media ignored Guaido's claim. The United States government opposes Maduro and supports Guaido. The U.S. has imposed economic sanctions on Venezuela. Is there still a free press in the midst of all the misery and turmoil in Venezuela? My co-host, Jalen Atera, is here to give us an update on the current state of journalism in Venezuela. Jalen, are any of the media in Venezuela privately owned, or does the state own all of the media?
So, according to reporters, the media in Venezuela is almost entirely dominated by the government. President Nicolas Maduro's regime has pressured all opposition media news outlets to get out of business. Whether that's by sending armed forces to harass them, or not just letting them go on air at the times, right? One of the last opposition news outlets, El Nacional, which is a source in Venezuela, news source that goes around and circulated in Venezuela, has recently been terminated its press. So Maduro's regime has finally pressured El Nacional to stop informing the public. And the reason Maduro's regime did do that was because El Nacional was not following Maduro's regime. They were an opposition source, and Maduro just wants to seize all opposition sources.
Why did Reporters Without Borders rank Venezuela so low in regards to freedom
of the press? The reason Venezuela was ranked number 145-200 was because of the condition the state is currently in. Maduro persists in trying to silence independent news outlets, which means that there is no freedom in the press. The political and economic crisis that happened in 2006 also made reporting more difficult in terms of reporters choosing sides and also the economic decline that was happening in Venezuela. Alongside those reasons, many Venezuelan journalists are fleeing their country due to the constant threats and fiscal difficulties they receive. Most of these threats and attacks even come from Maduro's regime. Another reason is because of the constant blackouts Venezuela has. These blackouts last about 10 to 22 hours, which makes it even more difficult for journalists to achieve news and then inform the public on what they need to inform about.
Are the journalists in Venezuela really being targeted by Maduro's regime?
Yes, they actually really are. It is really dangerous for journalists in Venezuela. According to El Nacional, one of the last opposition news sources in Venezuela, 154 journalists were victims of security force, 67 were illegally deprived of liberty, and 5 journalists were attacked with cyber liberty. 154 journalists is a lot, and the fact that they're being attacked by the police force in Venezuela is just showed you how dangerous Venezuela is. The police are supposed to be people of safety, people you can find. However, since the police forces are the Maduro's regime, they are listening to what he is saying and they are acting upon what he is saying. Another thing is that journalists are being targeted in their own countries by their own government. Maduro wants to restrict and control all the media outlets so bad that he has sent the police force resort to violence if needed. Journalism is constantly being targeted for coverage. According to Infobae, an Argentinian source that reports on Venezuelan news, journalism is being very blamed because they face a totalitarian system. They are on the streets without knowing if their integrity is going to be protected. Journalists don't even feel comfortable doing their own jobs because of the constant restrictions and eyes they have watching them.
What do international and national news outlets think about Maduro's regime?
Well, according to BBC.com, Maduro has been accused of undermining democracy and violating human rights in Venezuela. Since 2004, even the Trump administration has said that he is running a devastating dictatorship. European unions and major Latin American nations even said that they don't want to recognize Venezuela, and the U.S. even imposed sanctions on some people. However, Maduro doesn't stay sharp. Maduro definitely takes his time to criticize national and international media outlets, and he's constantly involved in media wars. Maduro believes that they are using media to their advantage, furthering his point on why we need to control media, because since he's international and national, news outlets are discrediting his administration, but it seems like media is controlling his media platforms and restrict that of discrediting and that they will throw in a positive image of his administration and Venezuela. Reporting for the NBC News, I'm Jamie Terry. Back to you, Shannon.
Thanks, Jalen. Let's talk about another powerful leader who's trying to control the media. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Sent the Turkish military into neighboring Syria to push back the Kurdish forces that the government of Turkey considers to be terrorists. Erdogan is a democratically elected president, but some critics see him as increasingly authoritarian, he who has no patience for civil liberties of freedom of expression. Is the freedom of the press in Turkey today, or is the censorship of journalists increasing? Brianna Ordona says the facts. Brianna, did you read any Turkish sources in your are there free independent Wikipedia still blocked. Nationwide blocking Wikipedia in Turkey has been 6 million in 2017. As of 2019, access to Wikipedia in Turkey has banned in South Africa for this reason. However, it was reported by the President of the Turkey's official news agency that the second block from the information source that the media has been making a campaign against Turkey and international. The agency has mentioned that the banning of Wikipedia overwhelming facts until the media has are individuals free to express their personal views on political or other sensitive topics without a fear of retribution?
Do citizens continue to voice their views for community friends and relations and so on, but are more likely to exercise caution about what they post online or say in public? The president of Turkey is known for harshly silencing anyone who that frequently result in detention and carry the risk of one of the passengers
communications provider are graded by the native technology to build their 5G networks. Who will get these enormous contracts to build the mobile infrastructure of the 21st century? One of the biggest manufacturers of telecommunications equipment in the world is a corporation of China called Huawei. This Chinese tech giant builds some of the best and cheapest technology on the market today. But some countries and some corporations are nervous about doing business with Huawei. The U.S. has blacklisted Huawei. Why? Mark Torino is ready to introduce us to Huawei and to tell us about Huawei is doing to reassure Japan and the world that it's safe business partner. Mark, start us off with a brief introduction to this tech giant. Just how big is Huawei?
Thank you, Dylan. Today, Huawei has over 170,000 employees in 170 different countries. In 2018, the tech giant announced it earned over $100 billion in revenue. China's tech giant, Huawei Technologies, is ready to work together with foreign nations, including Japan, to eliminate security concerns. Depending on the situation in each country, Huawei will make its source code available to other nations in addition to security measures, Senior Vice President John Sutton said in an interview with Kyodo News. Huawei is a Chinese multinational technology company that provides telecommunications equipment and sells consumer electronics, including smartphones. According to The Verge, lawmakers and intelligence officials claim that telecommunications giant can be controlled by the Chinese government, which presents a potentially grave national security risk in their products. According to the Japan Times, Huawei has proposed that Japan alone should assess the security of their products and services manufactured while vowing to disclose its source code to Tokyo. Suffolk said Huawei has far provided its source code to countries including Britain, Canada, and Germany, but stressed that different nations have different ways to evaluate the safety of Huawei goods. According to the Asahi Shimba Shinbo, Huawei said it's also offered its cooperation on security measures for the Huawei's 5G high-speed telecommunications standards being pursued by the Japanese government. And according with their policy, four Japanese carriers that the Communication Ministry allocated frequencies to 5G networks in April indicated they have no plans to adopt equipment made by Huawei in their communications system. In response, Huawei said that the Japanese government is welcome to verify the source code and render a judgment for themselves. For Global Media News, I am Mark Carino. Back to you.
Thanks, Nick. My co-host Shannon Rue is here to talk about Russia's role in the 2016 American presidential election. There was a social media disinformation campaign attacking our election, especially on Facebook. It is clear that Russia's attempts to influence American voters during the 2016 presidential election. Will Russia attempt to influence the upcoming election as well? What can we learn from the Russian disinformation campaign in 2016 that will help us prepare for the next wave of Russian-inspired fake news? Shane, we have been trying to understand exactly which voters were targeted by these trolls in 2016. Which demographic groups did the Russians concentrate on?
The specific demographic that Russians concentrated on were African. After the 2016 election, Russia was accused of hacking our social media and the election polls. When they hacked our social media accounts, they only targeted African Americans. Russia wanted to pit Americans against each other, according to Vocal. A Russian spy came forward and said they had to write on social media that white is black and black is white to fulfill their assignment. We are weaker once they break us apart. We are always stronger together. They knew what they were doing when they were trying to affect.
What did Russia do to try and pit Americans against each other?
Russia flooded social media with false reports, conspiracy theories, and exploiting existing divisions.
What do you think their goal was in only targeting African Americans?
Russia wanted to lower the African American turnout to the election polls. The IRA found that 66% of the content that was put online was related to race.
What does white is black and black is white mean?
It means they are playing the race card. They want to recognize that white and black Americans are different, and that is clear as day. Russia tried to start an information warfare campaign against the U.S., and that it's not starting and ending in the 2016 elections. This may all happen again in 2020. Now that we know what they did for the 2016 elections, we know exactly what to do, what to look for, going back to the 2020 year.
For
for Globe Media News, I am Shannon Hulow. That's all for this week. Thanks to our producer and engineer, Kyle Brodsky. Thanks to Jalen and Tyra for hosting me this week.
For Dave, we have written reports from Sean Picado, Jane Matera, Leonardo Gomez, Mark Carino, Robert Cody, and Shannon Hulow.
For Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College of Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest podcast at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN. I don't know.